I've been thinking about, oh, come on. Now, this is something that you can't really talk about with people that don't understand a lot of things in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. They just don't have, it's just not discussed anyplace else. I'll try to explain a little bit, and then we'll kind of talk about this, because on occasion I've tried to put myself in other people's shoes, and I struggled with it for a long time, because, oh, I will give you a for instance, and then tell you about what I'm thinking about. Okay. You remember the time of Noah? A lot of people were wicked, right? Noah goes out and preaches to them, and they say, oh, forget you, Noah. And one can only imagine he was building the ark, people were giving him a hard time, all that crap. And Noah said, God's going to kill everybody. He's going to make it flood. He's going to kill everybody unless you repent. And they didn't. Because what he was saying didn't make any sense to them. I understand their incredulity over what Noah was saying. And of course, the rains come down. You can say all day long this is kind of a fake story. It didn't really happen. I don't know why we put it in the Bible then. Anyway, now let's take that attitude and fast forward to our time. I think even you could say that somebody was nominally a Christian. And you say God's going to come and kill everybody. And a lot of people will have in their mind, God is a jerk. You know, I never bought into any of this stuff anyway. I don't think much of his commandments. I'm not saying this about me. This is a hypothetical. You know, I don't think much of his commandments. I don't think much of any of this stuff. I'm not beholden to it. I didn't make any promises with God. How dare he punish me as if I made some covenant with him and broke it. How dare he punish me like that? I never made a commitment with him. I didn't get baptized in one of his churches. You know. What makes him decide that he can be the judge of me? Okay, so you guys kind of got it, and it makes some, hopefully it makes a little sense. Because I think on occasion, I've run across that situation, or put myself in that guy's shoes, and I said, you know what, you know, he's got a point. Hard to warn people about the coming punishment and destruction that's coming to them when they think it has nothing to do with them. And within the context of a mortal life, it really does kind of make God out as some kind of a capricious, mean dude. If you're attributing some catastrophe to God, people could probably handle it better if they knew that it was just like a random, you know, tsunami, horrible hurricane that blows up and you weren't expecting it to be that bad and it kills you. They would probably be better off with those kinds of things than the whole thing of, oh my gosh, I'm going to suffer in hell. I thought God gave us our agency to do what we wanted. And then I could say, hey God, you know, I'm wiping my hands. I'm not making a deal with you. I never asked you for any of this. So I don't think I'm in line to be punished. You can tell me all day long, well, you're not going to receive the wonderful blessings that other people do. And most of them say, I never asked for the wonderful blessing. I don't care. Nothing to do with me. Under normal circumstances, that would be it. And that ends up being how it gets portrayed. We were just reading today with my son, and I'm glad that my wife just pretty much said, Jason, just shut up. It's like, okay, yeah, you're right, all right. Because this is the right way to do it in today's society. It doesn't help that you're still going to get punished, and you're still going to be sitting there going, whoa, hey, what happened? But once you get there, you'll see, and you'll go, oh, oops, yeah. But I'll explain that in a moment. He was doing the whole thing about how you explain things to people who are investigating the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, and it's all about, well, if you don't get baptized, if you don't follow Jesus Christ, you won't get to enjoy the blessings of what he offers. It almost seems like, well, no, I shouldn't say you shouldn't bother saying it, but it's totally skirts over the whole thing that you're going to get a punishment for being disobedient. These things are not just suggestions. You know, it's not like, ooh, you know, if you do what it takes to get this ticket now, in a little while later, I will exchange that ticket for marvelous wonders. And people say, oh, you know, it sounds like the Mormon Church is trying to trick you into something. And honestly, to a certain extent, I think that's probably a pretty honest assessment of it. Because they aren't telling you about the obvious punishments that the scriptures give for not following Christ. And you're going, well, I thought I had a choice. And you go, oh, no, you have a choice. But yeah, there's punishment if you choose not to. Whoa! Let me tell you how I see it and how I think it works. And it might help explain the fact that no, God isn't being capricious. God isn't creating commandments for other people and then punishing you for not being one of those people, you know, and it's like, what kind of crap is that? And you come back and you go, okay, here's why. All right. The first thing you got to know is you lived before you were born. You existed. Might be a better way to explain it. You're a spirit child of God before you came to earth. there was a war in heaven. Now everybody says, oh, it was a war of words, yada yada, we're gonna war. You know, I'm not sure if I even do that. A whole lot of people, at least in the old days, it doesn't get talked about a lot anymore. I think there was an authentic war. Satan decided to go up against God. He had a pretty good group. Apparently it was one third of the hosts of heaven. The whole thing. Two thirds stuck with Jesus Christ. I think there was a real live war. Now, nobody, you were all spirits. Nobody's going to die. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, well, no, to be honest, it was whether you were going to go forward or not. These guys were fighting and saying, hey, we can still go forward, but, you know, we want to do it by our own terms. And God said, no, you do it by my terms. It became this God versus Satan thing. Lucifer at the time, he became Satan. Anyway, you had to make a choice. Which side are you on? There were no fence sitters. This was not permitted. You had to be for one side or the other. God makes it quite visceral. You know, either you're for me or you're for him. It's like, oh, okay. And it was all about making a commitment to Jesus Christ, to following him, to being obedient to him and what and his purposes, and going forward. That was what was presented to everybody, and you had to choose a side. And I will tell you that I consider this mortality, living on earth, being born, then living, and then dying. I pretty much do this entire period like boot camp for being in God's army. Back there, when the war started, it is not ended yet. The battle between God and Satan has not ended yet. Don't worry, God's going to win. Satan is nothing compared to him. You enlisted in God's army. I don't want to get wrapped up in... There is a movie that was made by an LDS filmmaker. It was called God's Army. It's a bizarre movie. He had a bizarre take on things that I really don't think much of. It doesn't matter. He made more money than I did, so I'm not going to sit here and quibble about it. He had his way of thinking, I have mine. But it was. This is as far as. I think the most useful way of looking at our time before birth was making the decision about whose army we were going to join. And it was like that. Enlistment. You swore. It was a commitment. And the boot camp for the war is down here. On this earth, you know, you can think of the heavens being up above and the earth below. That's why I say down here. Get to know it. Anyway, so that's kind of kind of the way it goes. And so, you have to understand, I put 3 sons in boot camp. I was never in it, but my 3 sons were. And it's something that just has to be endured for the time it's in there. But there's a lot of verbiage like endurance. Coming from God and from the prophets about this life. It is. It's like it's something just to be endured. You got to endure it. There's things you got to do. And I think that's true in boot camp too. There's things that must be done. If you are not capable of doing the things that are required to be done in boot camp, you're out. And that's it. So, I shouldn't have come this way. I should have pulled off. Because this thing is just absolutely, I should have gone off on Highway 3. Because now I'm sitting here waiting for... These guys keep barreling through here. Don't you dare hit me! Now they're all going to insist that they want to be able to come over here. Yeah, and that's life, you know. Learn to live with it. Is that me? Do I smell like this? Well, anyway, I've been starting to try to write this down. I don't know if it's really going to work as in my blog, for the simple reason I don't think it's going to be interesting to a sufficient number of people. And, whatever. As soon as I can get on 3, I'm going to get out of here. My son warned me about this. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's not like I kept in a big rush or anything. I wonder if this thing would work. Let's find out. So, jeez. Anyway. When you go in for the boot camp motif, you kind of get a picture of how it is and why when you say stupid things like, hey man, I never bargained for this. You know, I have choices. I have my freedom. And it's like, you know what? You can do what you want, but it doesn't mean that you get to come out the other side just saying, hey man, I never made a deal with Christ. I never made a deal with God. That wasn't my thing. Because you did. And you got to understand that as a condition of your enlistment into this was it's called the veil of forgetfulness. You weren't going to remember having enlisted. You weren't going to remember putting, you know, raising your right hand and swearing to follow Christ, to obey the commandments of God, all those things. And you're going, well, that's a chip. And you go, you know, no, it's not. You know, when people say, well, if I don't remember it, what am I supposed to do? And you go, we're telling you now that this is something that you promised a long time ago that you don't even remember. And you can decide not to do it. And you go, but there's going to be some, you know, you're not necessarily going to come out smelling like a rose if you don't go this way. And can I tell you, it's kind of built into the psyche. It's kind of built into the whole way things work that you really have to do this stuff. Anyway, you know, you could choose not to, but yeah, you can't do the whole thing of, well, I shouldn't be held to the standard. And you go, because you're here, you made the commitment. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I chose Christ instead of Satan. And you go, yeah, but it's more than that, I think. I think it has more to do with it than that. You're going to get to sit there because you knew that the left lane was closing and you think it's everybody else's job to be nice to you. I'm going to be nice to somebody, but it doesn't necessarily have to be you. Well, is that rude? Am I just a rude dude? Is that all there is to it? Anyway. And so when somebody comes to you and says, well, that stuff just doesn't apply to me because I don't believe in that. And you go, you already made the commitment, man. It says, the whole point is, are you going to live up to it or are you not? You know, it says you can choose either way. It says, and there's not going to be any particular repercussions yet. But they're coming. You know, you can always bow out, you know, and I was thinking about suicide and about people who commit suicide, and you're going, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, do people go crazy in boot camp? Yeah. Do they freak out and have all kinds of weird things? I can't do it. I can't deal with this. You know, it's there. It's understandable. Is that going to be used as some kind of a? I really don't know. I really don't know how that all works. But that's kind of what you committed to do, and to a large extent, who you are now is who you were then. I think that's bigger than anything else. I don't want to say anything bad about PTSD people. I don't want to minimize their pain. I think they still need to do the best they can. And That's good, you know? That's right. You need to do the best you can. No matter what circumstances you find yourself in boot camp, you know, there are some pretty even-handed drill sergeants and there are some pretty, oh my gosh, I hate your guts, I wish you were dead sorts of drill sergeants that just make your life miserable. They're trying to prepare you for the rigors of what's ahead. Let me tell you, man, it must be rigorous. And I don't mean just in this life. I think beyond this life, I think it must be kind of rigorous. You've got to be willing to do stuff. You've got to do what it takes, I think. So, you know, and I don't know what that is. Don't have a clue. God says very little about any of this stuff. You know, he keeps it really simple. And I mean, that's just like boot camp. Boot camp is all about getting through boot camp. For the time that you're in boot camp, that's what it's all about. Boot camp, boot camp, boot camp. I don't think it really matters what kind of career field you went into the military for. I had two sons that went in to be plumbers. Or actually, I had one son that went in to be a plumber. I had one son who went in and they just took him, not really having decided where he was going to go. He ended up being a plumber. And then I have one son who went in as a cryptolinguist and is doing that. But did they have basically the same basic training experience? Yes. It was their basic training experience, and that's it. Da, 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 da. And yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't, oh, I was rich. It just doesn't matter. The money that you have is meaningless to the situation. It just doesn't matter. We're moving along a little bit. The guys in the left lane are going to figure out pretty soon that the signs did really say that the left lane was closed. And it seems like that continues to be true. What a noisy fella, man. He thinks he's going to be faster than me. He's going to find out he can't be faster than me. For all I know, this stuff up here is dead and we can just all go forward. That'd be great. Anyway. Oh, why are these guys getting over? Is it the right lane that's being the jerk? Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. It said the whole time back there, the left lane was the one that was the problem. Oh, they keep switching back and forth. They can't make up their minds. That's okay. So yeah, when you put it into that thing, and let's say you've got a drill sergeant, right? And your drill sergeant says, dude, come on, shape up! And you decide to get a little plucky, right? I didn't bargain for this. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't bargain for that. When I signed up, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And it's like, uh-oh, dude, you're going the wrong way. Shut up and get through it. Okay? When they say jump, you jump. And you go, well, I don't want to jump. You know, I don't want to keep that commandment. I don't want to have to be like that. I don't think anything of Jesus Christ. He goes, who the heck cares? You know, this is, it's all about keeping the commandments. Now, you know, it really helps if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, man, you might want to develop that because it's going to see you through the hard times of this whole situation. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. And that's what you gotta say. I'm kind of thinking. I think Highway 3 is coming up at some point here, and I'll get off and I'll go the other way. I'd rather just as soon go the other way. I'm wasting a little gas just sitting here in this situation. Oh, are we going again? Okay. Am I gonna be nice to people? Well, if people want to come over. These guys obviously didn't read the sign. I don't even know if the sign's relevant. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. You know? Okay. So when you come and you go, oh, I didn't make any deals. I don't understand why I'm being punished for something that I never really even agreed to. And you go, dude, you did. This is boot camp. You can sit here all day long and say that you don't remember having enlisted. It doesn't matter. God remembers. Says, and I'm here to tell you that you signed up. That you said you were going to come down here. You might have even had a special mission that was given to you. Well, my advice is, do it. If God lets you know you need to do something, don't sit there and say, hey, I have a choice. Well, you can. Like I'm saying, I'm not saying you can't, but it doesn't mean that God has to treat you nice. I gave you a choice. You decide not to do it. That's okay. He said, I don't think that's the way God's going to be about it at all. He's going to say, you made a commitment, and you welched on it. He says, ultimately, I'll let you out of this enlistment if you want to be out of the enlistment. But I'm going to make you live through boot camp anyway. It's not going to be much fun if you're not in it to win it, man. God's going to win. The only question is, are you on his side or somebody else's? And if you decide to spit in your drill sergeant's face, I think prophets get to be drill sergeants. Nice ones, you know. He said, boy, you can't get on to them for not having, oh, they didn't treat me very nice. I felt like everybody should have been nice to me. Oh, the prophets today are so nice, it's almost sappy for how nice they are. So, yeah, you can't pull that stunt. And you say, well, I just didn't know about it. And you go, you were given enough information. He says, and I'm going to try my hardest to let you know that that's true, too. So I probably will continue to write my thing because I think it's important for everybody to know. And you should have a called up... and indoctrinated attitude about it. He said, I signed up for this thing, man. I am in, and I am in 100%. And you can sit there and go, well, what if we don't win? And you go, man, dude, we are going to win. He says, the only question is, which side are you going to be on? Our side, the side that wins, or the other side, the side that loses? You know, there's some people say, hey, if it's that way, then yeah. And I got to come this far, and you go, yeah. He said, you're already this far into boot camp. Pull yourself together. Get your head in the game. Do it. Don't listen to all the guys who are saying, you don't have to do that crap. You don't have to live to those standards. You don't have to do that. Go, you know what? They're a bunch of freaking losers. You go, you can be a loser too if you want to be. You can do it too. Ain't nothing stopping you. I'm going to have another one of these. These are so cute. Little bitty apple pies. Since I'm sitting here stopped dead. Oh, guy. Yeah, you know. And they say, well, don't I have a choice? See, because people want a choice that exempts them. I want the exempt one. I don't care enough. I'm out of here. I was like, no. God in Christ already said, No exemptions. Everybody's in it. Nobody's out of it. And it is. The question is, do you want to be on the winning side? Or do you want to hang out with the losers? And you can say all day long, well, I want to hang out with the people who are nice to me, who say nice things to me and compliment me and make me feel good. I've listened to a lot of, I watched a few, quote, ex-Mormon, unquote, videos. In the old days, for every two gay people, there was a gay newspaper. Because they want so much to talk about their feelings and all that stuff. And that's fine. Girls can talk about their feelings. Hey, if guys want to talk about their feelings, that's their business. It's not going to do any good. Let's just make it happen, man. Just make it happen. And it is. I don't want to have anything to do with you guys. And you go, dude, okay. But it's not going to go well for you. I'm just here to say. It ain't going to go well for you. And these people, these ex-Mormons, my bishop made me feel bad. I did this and this, and he said those were sins, and that I needed to repent, and I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel good, so I left the church, because he was a mean guy, and I won't be. I don't think Jesus is about mean people. And you go, boy, you're gonna be so unhappy when you see Jesus, because you're gonna see him being mean. What you perceive to be being mean. What he's trying to be is straightforward and saying, I warned you, and I warned you, and I warned you, and I warned you. If you're going to be one of those sheep, you need to follow the shepherd. The sheep all think that they can just wander around and say things, bellyache and complain and say, well, I don't feel very loved, or I don't feel this, or I don't feel that. And you go, you know what? Here's the point. The shepherd's calling to you. Are you running to him? Are you coming to him? Or are you out there staring at your navel, you know, belly aching and complaining because everybody's not, you know, kissing your little butt, making you feel wonderful? And yeah, he says, I'm sorry. I said, you know, you can sit here all day and try to engage with the psychologist. There's this one guy that I swear he's got a background in psychology. He talks all about all the tactics being used. And you go, oh, I'm not saying that you aren't, you know, that some people are trying to use different tactics on you to get you to you know, get back in line, come back to the fold, follow the good shepherd. It's a good thing following the good shepherd. Oh, they make me work, you know, they make me do some work. I don't like that. I've heard about other places and other churches where they don't make you do anything. All you do is sit there and sing praise songs.
Oh, praise songs are fine.
You know, and all I have to do is say, Jesus is my Savior and I'm okay. I don't want to have to teach a class. I don't want to have to do this or that. I don't want to have to do any of it. You go, okay.
You go, it's your choice, but
you can get a lot of people to come along and pat you on the back and say, oh, poor you. Oh, they didn't make you feel wonderful. Oh. Okay, fine. He says, but trust me, when push comes to shove and it starts lighting up, you might find yourself, no, you're probably going to find yourself, you're definitely going to find yourself on the wrong side of it. And, it's just going to be an all well for you. Things are going to get tough. And the whole point was, when things get a little tough, you're supposed to bear down and keep pressing forward. That's the whole boot camp of it, man. Get through it. Oof. Yeah, they really do need to work on this side, don't they? Oof. Got some good potholes over here, man. You can tell they've been chewing it up and resurfacing on the other side. Anyway, so yeah, and so yeah, this came from the ex-Mormon things, who were mostly saying, yeah, you were treated bad. Oh my gosh, you paid your tithing money and now you feel ripped off. You know, oh, the church is run by people. They should be perfect. But they're not. They were trying to understand something. They didn't understand it very well. Stuff like that. Oh, Joseph Smith translated the Bible, and I don't believe anything he said because he was weird. You know. There's a million different things you could find to say, well, I shouldn't be having anything to do with this. It's just like that sheep there in the out in the field coming up with 1,001 reasons why they don't want to follow a shepherd for one reason or another. No, I don't like those sheep. Those sheep are stuck up, or you know, those sheep are holier than thou, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you go, why should you be worried about the other sheep? Why should you really be worried about the church particularly? God didn't tell you to get weird about the church. Does it have its problems? Sure. When people say, oh, it's supposed to be perfect, and you go, you know, what it's supposed to be, it says, I don't know why the word perfect was used. It's the only true and living church. I don't think it's perfect. I don't think the scriptures ever said anything about it being perfect. Is it the true route back to God? Yes. With all of its faults, with all of its warts, with all the people who are, you know, it's confusing. You can go to General Conference and be presented with three or four different different takes on something. And you can sit there and go, well, I'm confused. Which one am I supposed to be following? And you go, you know what? Take them all in and find your own way. They're trying to put it into different terms. I do it too. We all do. Try to put into terms that work for us, and then we spread to other people, and maybe it works for a few of them too. And that's kind of how these things kind of run. You know, and you go, is it perfect? I said, no. Oh, it changed. This thing changed, that thing changed. And you know, it says, yeah. It says they're trying to figure out what's going to work. You know, they all get weird. The current thing right now is the fact that they had it so that if you were the kid, if you were a young person coming from a transgendered home, that they wanted you to wait until you were 18 to get baptized. Number one, this is not a problem at all. This gives you an instant out to say that if anything happened to me between the age of 8 and 18, we're just gonna kind of knock that thing. You know, it's just like you'd stay the little kid. You know, you're not gonna be held responsible for that stuff. You know, that's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but that's kind of how the way that I kind of look at it. And then there's so it was like that. You had to get first presidency permission for that person to be baptized after a whole bunch of, you know, explain to the parents what was happening, explain to the parents the church's standards, and that they weren't really compatible with the family they came from, and making sure everybody was okay, and not even touching it until that person that said, I think I want to get baptized, is 18. You know, what they changed, and there was a change, and they all go ballistic, and it's all weird. It's all weird, because the only change that got made was that now it wasn't something that you had to bring before the first presidency. Apparently, that didn't used to be a problem when there was only like a handful at any given time ever of these people coming from transgendered family situations that needed. It was also for gays too, for people in committed gay relationships too. LGBT type garbage stuff, pardon me. I think it's all garbage, but that's okay. You know, says, ooh, that's so rude to say. Says, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like a freaking drill sergeant. If I don't think anything of something, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. And I expect you to live up to a higher standard. And that's just the way it is. I'm kind of jerky that way. Anyway, so here's my turn if I can get to it. Because I'm getting off here. I can go a totally other direction. Of course, they probably have socked up this whole thing with a whole bunch of guys that's going, I'm just going to sleep here until things calm down. It is. Look at that, man. There are so many freaking trucks up here. That have just turned off, only just to turn off. They aren't actually going down the other road. They just want to get off the highway until it clears. And I'm not one of them. I am taking Highway 3 because it goes where I want to go. I-40 does too, but I don't care. Ooh, man, that's some pretty heavy-duty looking, kind of quasi-military looking hardware there. Looks like a military dune buggy. All right, we're back on the road again. We're gonna start making some progress again. I'm grateful. I hate traffic. Look at that, man. That traffic goes on for stinking ever. All right, drifting snow next 25 miles. I'm looking forward to that. There's no snow, it's freaking July. It's the end of July, it's nearly August. It's almost nice part of the year again.
Yay!
Okay, so, yeah. And the only thing that changed was that they said the first presidency's not going to review them anymore. I think it's because there were so many of them. And they went, we don't have the time or the resources to do this. So they said, we're going to leave it up to the local... leadership to ascertain whether this is going to work okay. And if you need any help, you can call us. That was the change. It wasn't a change of how it was going to go, even though they know that there's going to be plenty of milquetoasty. This is why the brethren often reserve things to themselves to make decisions on, is because they know bishops are way too tight into it. And they're going to tend to be kind of mushy or too hard. You know, it kind of goes both ways, but they would tend to be kind of mushy. And if a situation really shouldn't happen, their tendency would be to let it happen anyway. And it's like, oh, probably shouldn't. But you know, that was the change. And everybody just went, oh, they changed the doctrine of the church. Oh, my gosh. It didn't. They're a bunch of two-faced. They're just screwing around. And you're going, dude. What you're saying makes no sense whatsoever. The only thing it's made to do is try to make these people look bad so that you can say, they're bad people. They don't speak for God. So you need to stay away from that church. It's absolute blistering garbage. Absolute. Just garbage. Don't even want to hear about what kind of garbage it is. And that's the current one that's really like, well, I just don't like how they're treating LGBTQ people. And you go, God said that sodomy is a sin. We don't do gay marriages. If you are in a relationship with a member of the same sex and you're sexually active, you are stand in complete opposition to God. Therefore, you can't be a member of the church anymore. If you say that you're gay, but you've decided that you're not going to engage in sexual behavior or get married to a member of your same sex, you can participate in the church. You can participate in the church to the largest extent possible. You can participate in the church. Because we don't do things based on feelings particularly. We do things based on behavior. Now that's shooting low. Christ was somewhat weird about your thoughts and your feelings, you know. The rule used to be if you committed adultery, you committed a sin. Christ said if you look upon a woman, he was always doing things from the man's side. If you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. That's the higher standard. Now, obviously, for the LGBT set, we are using the lowest standard that can possibly be contrived. You know, as long as you're not out there actively committing sodomy, or you're getting yourself married to a member of your same sex, it says the whole point of doing that is to commit sodomy. I said, then, you know, is to try to say that although you are committing sodomy, that it's okay. You know, it says, I don't care what the government says. I care what God says. You know. Anyway. Yeah. And you're going, you know, now the whole thing, you know, old transgenders. why can't a woman who decides they're a man, why can't they have the priesthood? And you go, you know, I don't like playing games. That's games. I don't like playing games. So we're not going there. I don't know how it's going to go when all of a sudden all the paperwork comes back and the government says, if you dare treat this woman, a person who was born a woman, if you dare not treat them in every way and fashion like a man, you're all going to jail. I really don't know. I really don't know what we're going to do at that point, but it's not there yet. Haven't had that situation yet. I don't know where that one's going to go. I don't know. That's really the only answer I have, is I don't know what they're going to do with that. I certainly hope that God intervenes in world affairs more strongly before that happens. Although, I have to say that it seems like the Lord... doesn't intervene until he just can't stand it anymore. Sodom and Gomorrah was hot and cold running. I mean, look. He let a situation get away from Sodom and Gomorrah. He burned the place, remember? Pillar of salt business with Lot's wife. And his daughters, I suppose, well-versed in the debaucheries of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were living, that they actually had children by their own father. And apparently not with his, really with his consent. Yeah, he got him drunk and they had sex with him. You know, and you're going, oh, that's twisted, you know. Even today we go, oh, that's just, oh. So have we gotten there yet? I guess not. We're not there quite yet. He seems, the Lord seems to want to give you every opportunity to decide to turn aside from it. You can look at it a couple of ways. You can look at it as the nice way, which is, hey, I'm going to send prophets, and they're going to tell you that you need to stop doing this, and, you know, and you could even kill quite a few of them in your anger at how dare people tell me that what I'm doing isn't just beautiful and wonderful. Whatever I want to do is great. And, or you can look at it the whole way of, God's giving you all the rope you need to hang yourself properly so that there is absolutely no question. You know, when you finally do get punished, it's not going to be like, well, what was he punishing you for that for? That's nothing. It's going to be like, okay, he's punishing you for that. Oh my, you know, vomitous stuff. I guess you can look at it both ways and try to figure out what God's doing, thinking in his head. I don't think it's useful. But, you know, it is the whole thing. If you can say all day long that God doesn't exist, and there is reasonable, you know, you can go along for quite a while saying that God doesn't exist, and it really will appear that God doesn't exist. It says, you know, and it's going to be kind of rough when he does exist, because he's not going to come and be Mr. Nice Guy. He's going to come, you know, there's scripture that says it, you know, I'm coming to straighten out. I sent prophets to you, and you killed them all. You know, you worked them over, you knocked them down, you killed them. I said, And, you know, here I am. I'm seeking vengeance for those activities. And it's not like, well, we didn't know. And you go, apparently that's not going to be, apparently that's not going to be a good enough excuse. Ta-da! It's not going to cut it. Anyway, oh, it's beautiful and green out here. There has just been so much rain lately, and in such wonderful amounts, that everything's beautiful. Our garden is amazing. When I was pausing a little bit, I was eating green beans. Lisa doesn't like green beans when they're fully grown. She likes them on the small side. The only problem is Matt didn't tell her that they were coming, so they all got big on her. And so I think she's kind of unhappy with that situation. She likes beans, but she likes them young, and we miss the young phase. Anyway, so all that comes back to, guys, you know, there are plenty of excuses that people come up with, and one of the big ones is going to be, well, I didn't bargain for this. I didn't make some commitment to Christ. And you go, oh, contrario mon frère, you did. In the past, the indication that that's true is that you're present, you're here. You made a commitment, you joined the army. And he said, this is boot camp. And you're sitting here belly aching now in the middle of boot camp and you don't want anything to do with this. And you know what? I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to have a lot of pity for you. To a large extent, the battle is not here yet. Now, I'm not saying that this whole life is just boot camp. I think it's also boot camp and the war. And I guess the really sad part is, if you're not in God's army, it's gonna be unhappy for you because you're gonna be on the wrong side. And God's always said, I will fight your battles for you. It, you know, it's all about staying true to Him, to Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to do. Don't backslide. Don't do any of that stuff, you know. They might break open all the records. Right now, we keep track of who comes to the second hour meetings. We keep track of who comes to second hour meetings. Right now, if you come once in a quarter, that's 3 months. There's usually 13 opportunities to come to the second hour of church. If you can't make it that often, why would God think you were part of His program? Why would you think that you were part of His army if you couldn't even do that? It's down there. It is recorded specifically. It's not the number of people that showed up at Sunday school, or priesthood, or relief society, or primary, or young men and young women. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's all about you. We put a little check mark by your name, and it goes in. It goes into that system. It is saved somewhere. And I think that's very telling. It used to not be saved that way. It is now. And my advice is, get your butt in. If you want to do the absolute minimum, here's how you do it. Show up on the last month of the quarter. That would be March and, let's see, April, May, June. the July, August, September, and then December. Make sure that you come at least once to one of those activities during those things. Don't say I didn't do you a favor. Don't say for a minute I didn't do you a favor. I'm doing you a huge favor by telling you how to kind of game the system. Make it happen. Because you want to be in the battle that's coming, and it's not going to be pleasant for any of us. I don't want to see a lot of people die, but it's coming. You want to be on the right hand of Christ. You really, really do. You know. You want to be keeping the commandments. They are not hard. Oh my gosh. As far as I'm aware of, the basic criteria is be baptized, keep the Ten Commandments, and then keep the Word of Wisdom. And if you do get divorced from your family, make sure that you're keeping all the decrees about child support and stuff like that. That's really it. Not too tough, man. Don't steal. Now when it says don't lie, be real careful, because I think what that means is don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And I think that's in a court proceeding or in something like that, that could get your neighbor into trouble, that you're not going to lie to get your neighbor into trouble. Okay? This is not tough. These are not tough things. Oh, I can't, you know. Bring honor to your father and your mother. That means don't be a schmuck, okay? Don't do things that embarrass your parents. And that means be a jerk, be an asshole type stuff. It doesn't say obey your parents, it says honor your parents. It means bring honor to them. And you know what? Between you and God, you figure out what actions are honorable to parents. Ta-da! If your parents were jerks, who cares? Be grateful that they at least brought you into the world and got you to the point to where you could run away. Okay? It's all about you and your behavior as an adult. Are you doing something with your life that would bring honor upon your parents, that people would go by and say, boy, Jeff is a great guy, and your parents would go, wow, boy, people say good things about Jeff, isn't that wonderful? That's what they mean, okay? Guys, pull it together. This is not hard. But you know what? You would think that it was the end of the gosh dang world. Oh, I gotta fornicate all the time. And you go, you know what? A little bit of self-control. Just a smidge. Just enough to say, you know what? I'm just, you know, even if you just say, you know what? I'm just not gonna do anything with girls until I marry one. That's all. How hard is that? And then when you're married to your spouse, your wife, sorry, I'm going to talk to guys. All the commandments are pointed at guys. Talk to, you know, be committed. Be committed to your wife. Like I was saying in the last recording I did, ad nauseum, oh my gosh. You know, do what it takes to make your wife happy. Marry good. Don't marry an absolute witch. I don't know how God deals with women. I really don't. It's not my business. It's not my business on any level at all. Girls, as far as I'm aware of, are different creatures altogether. I have no idea what commandments should apply to girls. Just don't know. I just don't know. So it's all about the guys. So I'm talking to guys here. I'm not interested in talking to girls particularly in this kind of venue. You know, if you want to know what a girl's supposed to do, I'll tell you to go ask your mother. Because that's how much it is. I want my girls to be taken care of. I want that guy to do what it takes to do that. And I tell my guys, I said, your job is to make her happy. And that's it. You know, the biggest way to make her happy is to live all the rest of those rules, to be devoted to her and to her alone, beyond God. And there it is. Ta-da! So, yeah. I think the whole motif of thinking about Earth life predominantly as boot camp leading to going to war is how you need to look at it. And that if people don't treat you right, if people don't talk respectfully to you and all that crap, I just give you this blank stare that says, you don't get it, do you? I'm preparing you to go to war! And that's all! Women to be virtuous. I guess that's kind of the thing. I want to be virtuous so that they can be something that men will die for. I would be willing to die for her. And you're going, I'm not willing to be to die for this weird, bizarre woman with three colors of hair and tattoos all over her. I'm not willing to die for her. Not in the way of marriage, that's for sure. Not interested. Not where I want to go. Anyway, so. I think if one thinks about it on those kinds of terms, especially the guys, and that we're getting ready to go out and do a war, and it's a pitched battle against evil. I think it changes the way people look at it. Says, you having fun? It's okay to have some fun. You guys can have fun in the barracks. When the drill sergeant comes in and says, 10 hut! You know, woof! Swack! You get into position, you get into formation, you stand at attention. Because you need to be focused on what's coming. And what you're going to do, the way you're going to behave, the way it's going to go in your world. You've got to be careful, these little side roads. A lot of people who are drunk will use these little back roads knowing that they're not patrolled very well. And they can weave an awful lot, and it really doesn't... It really isn't a problem. You know, they're not hurting anybody. I tend to agree, they're not hurting anybody. But you gotta be careful anyway, because yeah, you're going, you know, these people don't think there's anybody else on the road. And when you pass them, it's like, oof, I hope he notices me. All right, so that's all there is to that. Trying to put it into some kind of perspective for people. but they understand what they need to do. I am not... I'm not going to say anything against the feel-good crowd, the feel-good group that basically, that basically sings the praises of rainbows and puppy dogs and God is love and all that stuff. I'm not going to talk against that, because I also want them to come and say, we're in an army. I don't understand girls. Rainbows and puppy dogs for the girls, guys. Boot camp for you. Oh. Little bitty rabbits running, being run over by me. Oh boy, I'm so excited. Anyway, but that's really the way to view it. You know, said for the girls, wonderful. Rainbows, puppy dogs, and it's wonderful. And girl, don't get weird about the drill sergeant. He's having a tough time. He's trying to make soldiers out of these boys. And you're kind of a distraction to that. And that's why when people say, well, they tell me that I have to dress modestly so I don't, so that I don't put bad thoughts in the boys' hearts. Why are they letting bad thoughts get into their hearts? And you go, girl, this guy's going to go to war for you. He's going to go to war for you, and he may not come back. And we don't need to hear you bellyaching about the fact that you don't get to wear some cute little outfit that's made to make his jaw drop. That's for some other venue. That's when he comes back from war. From the war he has to face. Work, making life work for you, dealing with the fact that society is falling apart, and he has to try to stay in there. When he's practically vomiting all over himself, and you're not helping. Thank you very much. This is that's my take on it. And I'd say that to women. This is don't make his life miserable. Don't make his job any harder than it has to be. The one time I spanked with a belt one of my kids was when he made somebody's job difficult. And it's like, don't make anybody's job difficult. On your account, on anybody's account. If he wants you to do something, do it. Okay? Makes me kind of wonder about my whole thing about the coronavirus, except I'm sorry. He said, I'm not telling anybody what to do. Not a soul. I have not taken the virus. I am not putting myself forward as an example. I have my own personal reservations about this gene therapy, and I'm not doing it. That's all. I advise no one to follow in my footsteps. None. Zero. Zilch. Don't follow me. Unless that's what you decide personally. Don't do it based on me. If I have to do it to keep my family fed, I'll take the dang jab. Knowing full well the reservations that I have and all that stuff, I'll do it to feed my family. But not until that moment. Not until that moment. Until I'm forced to. And I will say, I am being compelled to do this against my will. And then they can stick me. I have a statement to make. anyway, so, yeah, I said, I'm sorry. And you go, well, don't you have standards for girls? And I go, girls have standards for girls. They've already determined their own standards. Live up to those. But I'm telling you, girl, if you distract one of these boys, if you do something that gets them off the path, I will not be kind to you. I will not be kind to you. Okay? That means you dress modestly. You live with, you live the virtues that your young women's leaders are teaching you. You listen to the prophets and apostles who have things to say to you about tattoos and about piercings. And you be virtuous women. Because this guy is going to go to war for you. The guy you marry is going to go to war for you. Literally. He's going to go off and do horrendous things. He's going to do them in the name of God. I'm going to hold his butt to the fire. Okay? And your job is to help him. Help him with the troubles that he's dealing with. A helpmate. Because he's going to go through hell. And you're not going to be going through it with him. He's going to face it primarily alone. Don't make his life miserable. Okay, well that's all I have for this recording. I don't think I need to say anymore. I guess I talked about, you know, talking primarily to guys. Did my little thing for the girls, which is basically, please support him. Support him in what he's doing. He's going through hell for you, okay? And I know you get to sit there and you get to whine and you get to cry and you get to say, well, I don't feel very good. I'm not feeling, you know, you're not treating me as well as I need to be treated. You get to do that. But just know, you're not doing him any favors. You're not doing him any favors. And his job is to go to war for you. To protect you. To protect your children. Because trust me, if there's anybody in the relationship they're going to hate, it's going to be your husband. They're going to hate him because he's going to have to take care of all the hard stuff. You can sit there and say, well, I'm going to be a single mom. And you go, don't do that. And I'm not, you know, I'm saying to put up with garbage. If you're having to put up with garbage, you talk to his first shirt. He's right here. You say, my husband isn't doing his job. Tell him he's not doing his job. And he'll go straighten him out. Because that's his job. You know what your job is, Bishop? That's your job. Got it? Good. Golly. Girls, don't get weird about the milk, okay? Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Because then you're going to force your husband, who's trying to do the best he can, to just say, well, it's either God or my wife. And he's been trained to choose you. Your job is to make sure that there is no choice between God and you. You are the daughter of God. I don't know what the commandments are to you guys. Talk to your young women leaders. Anyway, woo! You want me to be the bishop? Then you better strap down and hold on. Because I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you straight as I can. Woo! All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Oops. I'm not on the right thing. Shoot. Where are they? Am I recording this? I may not be recording this. Holy free holies. Well, easy come, easy go, right? What's this? Think free viewer? Ugh. Well, it says right here. It's here. Where is it? There. Okay, here we go. All right. I'm done. Bye.